Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We face the most important election in American history. And we face a choice. Where will you stand on this Battleground America? Here's your host, Tara Servatius.
Do you know what absolute power looks like? Absolute power is the ability to do anything and get away with it. We're seeing the beginnings of that in our society. I call it dual justice. It's a word you'll hear a lot on this podcast going forward. It's where members of one party are prosecuted to the absolute nth degree of the law, while others commit crimes far worse, but they're part of the right group, the correct group, the right people. They're never prosecuted. I'll tell you what it looks like. It looks like Donald J. Trump investigated endlessly based on absolutely no basis whatsoever. In fact, less than no basis. They had to make it up. We've already seen the indictment of one FBI official for making up a basis, lying to the FISA court, altering an email to be able to get a warrant to spy on Trump. Why did they have to do that? Because they had no basis to investigate him. Investigations based on nothing. We fought a revolution over that. There has to be a reason presented to a court of law, and it can't be a fake one you make up. We've seen what dual justice looks like at the national level. Now this weekend, we're watching them push it down to the local level, where justice is meted out or not. Your protection by the authorities that you elect and you fund is afforded to you only if you're a member of the right group. If you're not a member of the right group, you get no protection. What does dual justice look like on the local level? We saw it this weekend as leftists storm the suburbs of Portland. They've been doing this in blue cities all over the country. They're turning their rage and their ire and their destructive mobs away from the downtowns and the businesses that they have already torched and destroyed and into the neighborhoods. This is just one example. These mobs have marched through neighborhood after neighborhood across the country in recent weeks. This time, hundreds of far-left activists stormed residential neighborhoods in Portland on Friday night, shine lights into people's homes, screaming, threatening, get out of your house, come into the streets. Journalist Andy Ngo identified them as being part of Antifa. The far-left activists wore black and carried shields, at least one of which could briefly be seen with a hammer and sickle symbol on it. Out of your house, into the streets, the activists screamed as they marched through the residential neighborhood. They repeated the chant countless times throughout the area. The police never came. Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter, the activists screamed late into the night, yelling stolen land, stolen land, stolen land. They wanted the people, demanded the people come out of their house, turn over the keys. These are our homes. You don't deserve to live here. Now, where's the dual justice part of this? The dual justice part of this is in what made it possible. See, last week, the Democrat Portland DA declared that protesters, and this isn't peaceful protesting, what I just described to you, this is threats and intimidation, would not be prosecuted for a list of crimes. That list of crimes included criminal trespassing in the first and second degree. Now you seeing why the police didn't come? There's no point in arresting these people. They'll never be prosecuted. They've been deemed legally privileged, legally untouchable, by a DA who says he has a good friend in Antifa. That means they have the right to march through your neighborhood and up onto your property and threaten you with no punishment. Here's the rest of the list of crimes. The Portland DA says he won't prosecute any more against so-called protesters. Harassment. That's exactly what happened in these neighborhoods. He's giving them a license, a dual justice license. They are privileged, and the people who pay for that very justice system, who pay for police protection, are not. Just by virtue of the fact that they are inside homes that they own, and they are not marching in the streets with all of the right people. Do you want to know what else they were given protection from by the Portland DA? He says he won't prosecute for rioting. That's also on the list. Another charge on the list that the Portland DA says he won't prosecute, interfering with an officer or escape in the third degree. So this is a license for the mob to attack officers, to keep officers from arresting their fellow, I don't know, protesters? I don't even know what to call them anymore. And so in Portland, with the protection of the DA, they are now intimidating people in neighborhoods. So these not-so-peaceful protesters are being given permission, a license, a blank check from the kind of laws and criminal prosecution that apply to the rest of us so that they can go terrorize the rest of us. It's a force multiplier to give a small number of people an infinite amount of power. This protection for protesters goes all the way up to the top, as we saw in Minnesota this past week, where a Democrat candidate endorsed by the governor and other members of the Democrat Party went to the home of the head of the Minneapolis Police Federation, the police union there. He's also a lieutenant with what's left of the Minneapolis police force. A third have quit, so there aren't many left. 150 of them, about what it looks like in the video, with a megaphone and an amplifier system, screaming for hours, filling his cul-de-sac, threatening his life, telling him they planned to assault him. You want to know what that sounded like?
I'm a black man being terrorized by this Klansman right here. Don't run now. Don't run now, racist white people. Come on over here with your Blue Lives Matter sign. Blue Lives ain't And if people here going to support black people, you go to Minnesota.
Here's Kroll on the Laura Ingraham Show.
What's your response to that threat and intimidation by that individual running for office in the state and endorsed by the governor and other Democrat officials?
It's shameful. And what's truly shameful beyond that is no one in the party here, including the governor, has asked for him to step down and withdraw from the race. They put out a few small retractions that he wished he wouldn't have done that, but they were very minor apologies, if you could even call them apologies. And the rest of them are saying, hey, this is our party. This is what you want.
And the fact that the very officials who are supposed to protect the police, who they work for, who their authority derives from, won't stop it or even condemn it. This is happening across the country, folks. Angry, vicious mobs going to the homes of police officials and personally threatening them. Happened in Seattle. Carmen Best, who's done an amazing job leading the Seattle police force and who is black. The mob came for her, came to her neighborhood. I love the photos of what happened next. They started arriving car after car after car after car. And her neighbors, it's a mixed neighborhood, some black, some white, came out of their homes with high caliber weapons. Together, black and white, and repelled them from the neighborhood. But before they were kicked out, they demanded she come out of the house. They had paint, they had other supplies, they were going to deface her home. Clearly, they were prepared for vandalism. They did not expect to be repelled by her neighbors. Afterward, Police Chief Carmen Best wrote a letter to the members of the all-Democrat, all-left-wing Seattle City Council, who she worked for as the police chief. And she asked them, she begged them, to condemn this, to tell the mob to stay away from her home. Nobody did. It was the last straw. Carmen Best resigned as police chief the next week. Folks, this is going on all over the country. And yet, not one single speaker, not even one at the DNC convention this week, acknowledged that this violence is going on or condemned it. Think about that. So this is systematic, folks. It's the prosecutor saying we won't prosecute. It's the leadership of the left all the way up to the top, making it impossible for police officers to do their job and then go home and feel safe, and for their neighbors to feel safe if they live next door to them. And here's the crazy part. If you're in law enforcement, even if you're a Democrat, you don't get any protection. Wait till you hear what just happened in L.A. This is 2 weeks ago. The district attorney of Los Angeles, a black woman, was not home when the mob came for her. They were screaming and yelling on her front lawn, demanding she come out for a meeting right away. She wasn't home. Her husband, also black, was home. He told them to leave. He told them again and again to leave. They laughed, and they came up on his porch. And he continued to warn them through the door. He came out with a gun and pointed it at them and invited them to leave. She's the DA for Los Angeles. They're on her lawn. So what happens? He's now the husband being prosecuted for pointing the gun at the protesters by Xavier Becerra. He's the Democrat Attorney General of the state of California. And the protesters who refused to leave despite being told again and again to get off the property, that is clear-cut trespassing, a crime. Are they being prosecuted by California Attorney General Xavier Becerra? No. So wrap your mind around this. The DA of LA is a Democrat. She's not even safe. Her husband is not safe. Her husband is being prosecuted for daring to defend himself on his property with a gun against a clear case of trespassing, threats, and intimidation by another member of the Democrat Party, Xavier Becerra. Is it any wonder in Portland this weekend that Antifa felt comfortable, and you can find the video of this on my Twitter account, at Tara Servatius, that Antifa felt comfortable wheeling around a guillotine, folks, in front of the police bureau? How long before they wheel it down your streets and you call 911 and nobody comes? It's exactly what we saw in St. Louis. Protesters threatening to burn down the house of Bob McCloskey. You saw the video. While on private property, not public property. That street's owned by the neighborhood. The city doesn't own or maintain it. Protesters who also, at least one of whom, is pictured carrying a high caliber weapon of almost the exact kind McCloskey had. Are they prosecuted for trespassing? No. Or violently ripping down the gate to the neighborhood to get in? McCloskey is prosecuted for defending his property. Folks, this is going on again and again. This is a pattern. Meanwhile, in the midst of all of this, Joe Biden said last week, while accepting his nomination at the Democrat National Convention, that he is the one who's going to unify the nation. He's going to bring everybody together. It's going to be great. He's going to work just as hard to represent those who voted for him as those who didn't. He's going to unify everybody, he said. Now, keep in mind as you hear this, this is the same Joe Biden who was part of the Obama-Biden administration that systematically persecuted Christians, Jews, and conservative groups using the IRS. That is an absolute fact. It is indisputable. Thousands were targeted for audits, both personally and audits of their applications, mostly for Tea Party groups. Before the IRS was stopped, they had audited 25% of those who had either applied for a Tea Party group charter or were members, you know, were on the charter, were members of the group. A federal court would later find that they were persecuted in a class action lawsuit, and they were paid damages. It's indisputable. That happened on Biden's watch, yet he's never condemned it or apologized. Folks, it's a preview of what's coming. Now, listen to what Biden said this week, knowing that.
But while I'll be a Democratic candidate, I will be an American president. I'll work hard for those who didn't support me, as hard for them as I did for those who did vote for me. To represent all of us, not just our base or our party. This is not a partisan moment. This must be an American moment. It's a moment that calls for hope and light and love, hope for our future, light to see our way forward, and love for one another.
Yet just a day later, left-wing activist Biden supporters rolled a guillotine in front of the Portland Police Bureau, yet not once. Though the riots raged day after day throughout the DNC last week, violent riots by left-wing supporters of the Democrat Party and some of its leaders, not once, not one time was the violence ever acknowledged by a single speaker at the DNC convention, and never once was it condemned by these people who say they want to unify the country after so much division.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Kamala Harris didn't even bother to separate peaceful protesters out from violent ones when she praised the people in the streets.
And we're experiencing a moral reckoning with racism and systemic injustice that has brought a new coalition of conscience to the streets of our country demanding change.
Any mention of this violence was stark in its absence, particularly considering that Democrat leaders on the spot, from Chicago with Mayor Lori Lightfoot all the way to Portland with Mayor Ted Wheeler, have flat out admitted that the violence is going on and that at times it is escalated to attempted murder. Here's Portland Mayor Wheeler just 2 weeks ago admitting that these street so-called protesters, obviously not the peaceful ones, had attempted to commit murder, and not for the first time.
When you commit arson with an accelerant in an attempt to burn down a building that is occupied by people that you have intentionally trapped inside, you are not demonstrating. You are attempting to commit murder. This is not the first time that people have tried to set fire to a city building with people intentionally trapped inside. Unfortunately, it's not even the second time. And by the way, this building is in a residential neighborhood attached directly to neighborhood homes. This can't be okay.
So is it okay with the Democrats? After last week, we still have no idea. But given what's going on at the state and local level, you can take a pretty good guess that it is not only okay, but that the use of violence and the force multiplier of having that violence not prosecuted by Democrat district attorneys is not only okay, it's a tactic that they'll be using more and more going forward. I'll tell you who it's not okay with. This is how you can tell this has struck a chord. The NYPD. Gosh, how things have changed in this country. Remember when the NYPD was so popular, they were selling merchandise all over the country after 9/11? They were heroes. Vaunted. Loved. Now they're persona non grata. And they're terrified watching their city crumble right in front of them. So much so that for the first time ever in its very long history, the NYPD police union endorsed a presidential candidate. They picked Trump. Here's NYPD Union President Patrick Lynch.
I have 36 years in this job, 21 as the president of this fine organization. I cannot remember when we've ever endorsed for the office of President of the United States until now. That's how important this is.
It's a pretty strong statement. Will the voters feel that way in the fall? Okay, as we wrap up the DNC and head into the RNC, two stunning things about Joe Biden's speech the media won't tell you. Joe Biden says his entire reason for running for president, the moment he knew he had to run for president, was when he heard Trump describe white supremacists in Charlottesville as very fine people. That was the moment it clicked for Joe. He knew he had to run for president. In fact, he'd do his announcement, kick off his presidential bid at Charlottesville. There's one problem with all of this. It's a total lie. There's no way that Biden knew he had to run when he heard Trump call white supremacists very nice people, because he didn't do it. But it was a lie Joe repeated again in his speech at the DNC. He listed the sole reason, the thing that pushed him over the edge, had to run this time once again, as Charlottesville, hearing Donald Trump describe white supremacists as very fine people.
Just a week ago yesterday was the third anniversary of the events in Charlottesville. Close your eyes. Remember what you saw on television. Remember seeing those neo-Nazis and Klansmen and white supremacists coming out of fields with lighted torches. Remember the violent clash that ensued between those spreading hate and those with the courage to stand against it. And remember what the president said when asked? He said there were, quote, very fine people on both sides. It was a wake-up call for us as a country, and for me, a call to action. At that moment, I knew I'd have to run.
No one in the mainstream media here in the U.S. was honest enough to fact-check him, but the BBC did. Keep telling you, these days, you got to look across the pond to their mainstream media there to actually cover what's going on here. That's right, the BBC fact-checked Joe Biden's claim that Trump called white supremacists at the Charlottesville rally very fine people. Rated it false. Didn't happen. And that's because the media relies on a twisted version of what Trump said in order to arrive at that conclusion. Even Jake Tapper has admitted on the air it didn't happen. In reality, the BBC writes, Trump said the neo-Nazis at the rally should be, quote, condemned totally, unquote. Yet Biden persists in making the false claim. Now, Trump, both in the initial statement and afterward, has repeatedly condemned the neo-Nazis in Charlottesville in August 2017, totally. There can be no doubt about that. But they continue to pretend on the left that it never happened. The very fine people was in reference to the peaceful protesters, both for and against the removal of the Confederate statue. If you look at the whole statement, that's very clear. It was clear to the folks at the BBC, who can clearly read a transcript, unlike most of the American mainstream media. But the irony of Joe saying this is that the term very fine people, to describe both sides, both those peacefully protesting to keep the monuments up and to take them down, one could argue was actually plagiarized by Trump from Joe Biden. Wait, what? That's right. Joe Biden referred to the Sons of the Confederacy and those who still wave Confederate flags as very fine people. Wait, you mean the same people Trump was referring to? Yes. A small, specific group of people, peaceful, not racist, who want to preserve either their own Confederate heritage, the history in their family, or who, you know, fly the Confederate flag. Not a really good thing to be lauding today, not something we necessarily support, but Joe did in 1993. Take a listen to Joe use the exact same words he condemned Trump for using to describe the exact same people. This is from a Senate hearing in 1993. It is remarkable that the media has buried this. There's no way they don't know about it. It was all over the place. Fox News covered it a few months ago. In this 1993 clip, Biden is referring to a rare point of agreement between a senator who's a member of the Sons of the Confederacy and Carol Moseley Braun. He goes on to praise those who wave the Confederate flag as very fine people. Here it is.
Yes, the senator made a very moving and eloquent speech as a son of the Confederacy, acknowledging that it was time to change and yield to a position that Senator Carol Moseley Braun raised on the floor of the Senate, not granting a federal charter to a organization made up of many fine people who continue to display the Confederate flag.
Here's the kicker. One could argue using the phrase very fine people to describe those who would keep the Confederate monuments up and those who would fly the Confederate flag was actually plagiarized by Trump from Joe Biden when he said it. Wait, what? Joe Biden called people who fly the Confederate flag very fine people? Yup. That's not surprising for Biden. He's got a long history of supporting segregation, i.e. the deliberate separation of the races by law. Today, that's called racist. And no doubt, Trump will trot out a lot of Biden's quotes. Here's one of my favorite. It's from the Rolling Stone magazine. July 19, 2019. Here's the headline. Joe Biden in 1987, we, Delawareans, were on the South Side in the Civil War. So he's talking about other people who live in Delaware and himself. We, Delawareans, were on the South Side in the Civil War. Whoa. The media would love to have a quote from Trump like that. But it's from Biden, so they're pretending it doesn't exist. There is no way this guy, who has confessed to having been on the South Side in the Civil War, is offended by Trump calling those who want to preserve Confederate war statues very fine people. There's no way, not given his history. It's all a lie. But there's something else about Biden's acceptance speech that the media won't tell you. He's given it before. Yep, for all practical purposes, it's virtually the same speech he gave back in 2008 at the DNC convention when he was accepting the vice presidential nomination. Take a listen. This is fast-tracked, or it'd take forever. He's making the exact same promises last week that he did back in 2008. That means a couple of things. He doesn't have any original ideas. He hasn't accomplished anything he promised 12 years ago, and he doesn't have any intention of doing it. He does this with a straight face, even down to the exact number of manufacturing jobs he'll create. 5 million. Why? Because in 12 years, he still hasn't gotten it done. In fact, in 47 years, he hasn't gotten any of it done. Here you go. Take a listen.
Barack Obama has worked his way up. He is the great American story. Senator Kamala Harris, she's a powerful voice for this nation. Her story is the American story. That work is more than a paycheck. It's dignity. A job is about a lot more than a paycheck. It's about your dignity. It's respect. It's about whether or not you can look your child in the eye and say, we're going to be all right. It's about respect. It's about being able to look your kid in the eye and say, honey, it's going to be okay, and mean it. My dad who fell on hard times. You know, my dad was an honorable, decent man. He got knocked down a few times pretty hard. Always told me, though, champ, when you get knocked down, get up. Get up. But he always got back up. He worked hard. And why he'll make college more affordable. That's the change we need. And where cost doesn't prevent young people from going to college and student debt doesn't crush them when they get out. Barack Obama will transform the economy by making alternative energy a national priority. An opportunity for America to lead the world in clean energy and create millions of new good paying jobs in the process. And in the process, creating 5 million new jobs. With 5 million new manufacturing and technology jobs. For security, backing Social Security. If I'm your president, we're going to protect Social Security and Medicare. And he'll never, ever, ever give up until we achieve equal pay for women. With equal pay for women. Barack Obama will bring down healthcare costs by $2,500 for the average family. With a healthcare system that lowers premiums, deductibles, drug prices. The American people are ready. I am ready. Barack is ready. So the question for us is simple. Are we ready? I believe we are. And this is the time as Americans together, we get back up. Back up together. Let us begin, you and I together. This is our time. This is America's time.
I don't know that I would have talked much about saving people money on their healthcare plans. Everybody knows Obamacare made folks' health care plans more expensive. In fact, it's a fact. The Department of Health and Human Services admitted in 2017 in a press release that Obamacare doubled the cost of people's premiums. Premiums, the cost of your health care plan. Doubled. Yep, 105% increase. And this is the agency implementing Obamacare. It's like it didn't happen with Jeff. This was so bizarre. I wouldn't have brought this up, but he's right back at it. Yeah, man, I'm going to lower your health care costs. Yeah, I promised that in 08, didn't I? Yeah, I'll do it. Joe, you double the cost, you and Obama. Well, I'll do it. I don't know. I just read the speech again off the teleprompter. It sounded good. Okay. Must be nice to be a Democrat. The stuff you get away with. All right, I want to thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you've enjoyed what you've heard here, please do me a favor. Share it with like-minded friends and family members. Thanks for listening.
Oh, 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 oh. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.